Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. If you're ready, say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Sounds like you are ready. Bible says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats left there by fishermen. They were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, we'll find out later, it is Simon Peter, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets." And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. They signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, because I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed Jesus. Lord, we come before you this morning, Lord. We thank you for your call. We thank you for your attention, Lord. We thank you that you indeed are with us in this room today, Lord. You speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that you open our hearts to your message, Lord. Bring an anointing to speak, an anointing to hear, Lord. I pray that you would bind every distraction, Lord. You would be mighty in this place, Lord. You would indeed set the captive free. In Jesus' name. And everyone said?
Amen.
Amen. Where's my clicker? There's my clicker. We're talking about fishing today. How many of you are fisher people? How many of you have ever fished? Oh, yes. Okay, that's good. Okay. The concept of fishing is rather simple. You throw bait or a lure in front of fish with the hope that that fish is hungry. Pretty simple. Or that fish is angry and is going to strike at the bait. Now, my grandfather taught me how to fish. And my grandfather was a fly fisherman. And a fly is it's like a little lure, little tiny thing. And you flick it out there in the water, and you got to present it just wonderfully. And it is very much a craft. And I remember looking at my grandfather. That is not my grandfather. That is a guy who kind of reminds me of my grandfather. And that is a fly pole. It's a special pole. And you got that rig and that stuff. And you oftentimes you're out there standing right in the water. And the concentration on my grandfather's face as he would take it, he kind of flick it several times, and then you throw it out there, and the fly would fling through the air, just kind of land lightly on the water, and it would go down the current, sitting right on there, and a fish would come up and snap it, and you'd, bam, you would have them. And pull them in, and it was all about casting that fly, sometimes 20 times, trying to get that fish's attention, trying to get that fish going, "You want to eat this thing, you want to eat that thing," enticing that fish into action, enticing that fish into movement. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ is fishing for men, and the bait that he uses is truth. He is fishing for Peter, and he is fishing for Peter's crew. Because there is a whole bunch of guys that are... What am I doing with this? Sorry, guys, you have to look through that mic. Well, we're just going to live with that. Lord is still fishing for men. The Lord is fishing for me, and the Lord is fishing for you today. And he's throwing truth. He is throwing bait our way, trying to entice you to respond. He's banking that you are hungry. He is banking that you can indeed be enticed by truth. Kingdom truth. Kingdom truth is unique. So often in our lives today, we live on less. We live on less than truth. We live on less than kingdom truth. Can I get a witness on that? And what we do is we go running after all these things, and we're looking for something that will satisfy our this gaping hole in our souls. And we'll try this, and it looks good. It looks good for a while. And then we'll move on to something else. And it looks so promising. But then it, too, will kind of land flat. And we live our lives moving from one prospect, to another, to another, to another. And finally we come out and we realize that we are indeed still hungry. And that there is nothing that we can do that is going to satisfy that hunger. And the Lord looks for that opportunity. As my grandfather looked for the opportunity and the perfect hole and the right lighting and the right everything. And he cast that fly with the intent of enticing that fish up from the bottom, up to where he was satisfied, up to where he was thinking everything was good. And so the Lord comes to you today, and he casts out the truth of the gospel. And he says, do you realize that you are hungry? You hear that baby? Wah! That's a word like the Lord goes, I hear one. Just like that guy looking to entice you out of your feelings of safety into. You can go right back in that room, Natty. Praise the Lord. Kingdom of God, folks, it is indeed time to get on board. My question for you today, are you ready? Are you ready? Does that sound okay? All right, that's four of us. All right. The message of truth. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, their interest in the kingdom of God is great. The interest in the kingdom of God is great. And Jesus is all about preaching the message of the kingdom. He is preaching the word of God. Last week, we took a look at Jesus. He says, the anointing, we sang that song, anointing. The anointing is upon me to preach good news. Hallelujah. Do you need some good news today? Because the good news is going out, and it goes out with power. Goes out with miraculous effects that are being performed by our Lord Jesus Christ. Power of the kingdom is going out. He is casting out demons. He is healing the sick. And because of that, people are going, wow, this is different. This is unique. And the crowds are coming. People were crowding around him. People wanted to get in on this. And the kingdom of God is having an impact. The kingdom of God is making a change. Because of that impact, because of that truth, people are drawn to it. And we today are drawn by truth. There is a unique truth that is available to us today in the Word of God. Have you read it? How many of you find it difficult to read? You know why? It ain't like reading the comics, folks. There's some depths to this stuff. You can pray, Lord, open my mind to this truth. Jesus casting out demons, healing the sick, raising the dead. People are drawn to the kingdom because it's different. Because it's unique and because it does satisfy. It does fill where there was only gaps. And people are crowding all the way around. People are crowding around Jesus. People crowd around the kingdom. But being in the kingdom and crowding around the kingdom are two different things. Because you can live on the edge of the kingdom and not be in the kingdom. And Jesus sees that Peter is on the edge. So Jesus makes a request. He saw at the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He could see the fishermen washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, as I said earlier, and he asked him to put out a little from shore. And then he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. Crowd is crowding him, and he sees boats. Now, I did a little research, and you know what? I, in my mind, have been in error, because how many of you thought when Jesus got into the boat, it looked, I mean, that's obviously an aluminum rowboat, right? Probably 12 feet long, maybe 4.5-5 feet wide. How many of you think that that's probably something similar in size to what Jesus got into? Is that what you're thinking? I think, yeah, okay. You know what? They unearthed a boat from the first century in the Sea of Galilee, which is Gennesaret was the same sea. And this is what the boat looked like. It would have been probably 25 to 30 feet long. It would have been 7 feet wide. And you could have put, you would have had an oarsman in the back. You would have had maybe four guys rowing. And you could have had up to 13 passengers. Now, that's a boat. Can I get a witness? I mean, that is way different than that, right? And Jesus sees the two boats that are pulled up to the shore, and the guys are washing their nets. Now, here I got some pictures of nets, and that's just a picture. I don't know where it's from. But it shows these guys are probably airing out their nets every day. They hang them up, and they let them dry. These guys were washing their nets. The nets were very important. They would mend them and say, we've got holes in the nets. We've got any of this kind of stuff. Because your gear, if you're a fisherman, if you're working, you got your computer, you got all this stuff, your gear is very important. It is your livelihood. I borrow some of Mike's tools sometimes. Mike's got good tools. He's got DeWalt tools. Why? He's professional. He needs to have good tools. He has great investment in his tools. And these fishermen are caring for their investment. Jesus gets into one of the boats and he says, hey, can you put out to shore? Well, to put this boat out, it's a whole different ballgame than putting that boat out. Are you following me? Are you tracking me? He says, okay. He gets into the boat and he says, put out from shore. And so I got to think Peter is like, okay, we can do this. And he grabs all of his nets because the nets are important. He's not going to just leave the nets on the ground. They stash the nets and they put out from the shore. And Jesus begins to teach. And it seems like such a small request. Hey, put out to shore a little bit. And Jesus makes this small request. And I'm wondering today, are you open to a small request from the Lord? If Jesus comes and asks you to do something, will you go out of your way for the Lord? Do you have time for the Lord? Say, well, what would Peter care? Well, Peter knew who Jesus was. Peter had met Jesus before. In fact, go back to John chapter 1. The first thing, this is where Andrew meets Jesus. Andrew was a disciple of John the Baptist. And Jesus comes to get baptized and says, ho, here's the one. And they start following Jesus. Andrew is Peter's brother. First thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon Peter, and tell him, we have found the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus, and Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John, and you'll be called Peter. He says, I got some plans for you, Peter. And you know what today? Jesus has got some plans for you. Amen. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. You know, not only did Peter know who Jesus was, the day before, Jesus had come into his home. Okay, come to his home. He had healed his mother-in-law of a fever. Now, back in the day, they didn't have Tylenol. They didn't have any of that stuff that we got today. And a fever could kill you. And Jesus comes in, and by the power of the kingdom of God, heals his mother, his mother-in-law. And so he has this meeting, says, hey, we have found the Messiah. We have found the Christ. And he comes into his home, and he says, hey, I'll heal your mother-in-law. And then he gets into his boat, and he says, can you put out? He asks something of him. And you know why? Because I think he's seeing Peter on the edge of the kingdom. Jesus has got something going on with Peter. When you think about that boat, I'll tell you what. Jesus wanted to preach to the crowd. He didn't need to have the boat in the water. You know what I'm saying? He could have just climbed up in the boat, man. He would have been like standing on a big old platform. But he's got something going on with Peter. He's got something going on with Peter's crew. You know what he's doing? He's going to be flicking a little truth right in front of Peter and right in front of Peter's crew and see if he can get Peter off the edge of the kingdom and time to get on board. Amen? God will do that to you. God will do that right here. Last week, God did that. Stephen, you want to come up here? This is Stephen. Well, Stephen is coming. A little round of applause for Stephen. Now, Stephen, you've been here a handful of times. You got food a couple of times. You came on a Wednesday night once.
Yes.
And last Sunday, Timothy, your friend, was getting baptized. And you were late, and you were riding the bus, and you ran down here, and you were coming here for one reason, to watch Timothy get baptized. Amen? All right, I'll hold your mic up. There you
Amen.
Go. Yeah. Now, something happened during the service that you weren't expecting to have happen. What happened during the service? The Lord spoke to your heart? What happened in service? Because after service, something really happened. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But so what happened in service that impacted you?
Just the power of the Lord.
Yeah.
I wanted a change of life. I was just coming to watch my friend Timothy get baptized.
Uh-huh.
And more unexpectedly, I felt it. I felt more leading towards the Lord, changing up my life. I was sick of all the sadness, all the negativity. Everything in my life was just going backwards, you know. And I just wanted a different way of life. And if it wasn't for Timothy, I wouldn't be here.
Amen. Amen. The Lord pulling him off the edge. Now, at the end of service, you decided to get baptized.
Yes, sir.
And how did that come about? Did you come up with somebody and say, hey, you need to get baptized? How did that work?
You know, honestly, I was taking care of this one little this lady, because I take care of old people.
Uh-huh.
And this one lady was talking about, I read her the Bible every once in a while, you know. And she was telling me that if I got baptized, I would change my life. And we were talking about this like 2 weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
And Timothy just so happened to say that he was getting baptized. And I thought, wow, you know, I'm going to actually witness what I've always wanted, you know, in my life. Maybe it would change my life. You know, I want to turn my power over to God, you know, instead of always the wrong direction.
Amen.
And it just happened, you know. I just came here just expecting it. And, you know, with you saying yes, I just took the chance, you know. It changed my life.
Amen. Now,
changed my life,
so you said at the end of service, said, I want to get baptized. Yes, and you have no clothes, didn't have anything. And then you know what Timothy said? I got a second pair of baptism clothes. Now, that's a God thing there. And so, now, this week has been totally different?
Oh, yeah, completely different, you know? I got more perspective on things about which way I want to go in life and more direction instead of just always doing without thinking. Now I think, before doing it.
You know, we had tickets for him for the Tuesday night Padres-Dodgers game, and he was supposed to be down here at 6, didn't come. He was waiting for a phone call didn't come, and he said, you know what? If they don't call me, I'm just going to stay home and read my Bible. Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Stephen. God bless you, bro. Hallelujah. Did you get that job, bro? I know. Did you get that job?
Sort of.
All right. We're working on the job. We're going to pray that job in. Praise the Lord. All right. Point number two. It's nice coming from the edge of the kingdom, stepping in. Amen? Amen? Come on now. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. The Lord is always looking for more. And you think it's just me. I'm just working for the Lord. He's saying, hey, there's more there. There's more there. Some of you think I pressure you. Got to be obedient to the Lord. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, now what did he just say? Hey, let's just sit off to the shore a little bit. And then he says, hey, let's go fishing. He says, put out into the deep water. Not even close. Let's go to the deep water. Let down the nets for a catch. Jesus' requests get bigger. Jesus' requests get bigger. Now, Jesus is the Messiah. And then Peter's saying, okay, you know, Andrew comes up. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the Christ. Well, maybe. But what does this mean to me? See, Jesus is stepping into Peter's business. Jesus is stepping into Peter's boat. Peter's thinking maybe Jesus is the Messiah, but I don't know if he knows how to fish. Sooner or later, Jesus is going to step into your business. Sooner or later, Jesus is going to step into your boat. What are you going to do? He says, put out into deep water, let down your nets. Now, this is fishing talk. Jesus knows about all kinds of stuff, but Peter knows about fishing. go into the deep water and let down the nets. Now, what they would do is they would have these nets, and they would have floats on the top, and they have weights on the bottom, and they would have these guys rowing. They didn't have motors, right? They were rowing, and they would begin to feed out the net, and they'd make a loop, and then they would draw the net in, and they would catch the fish. Go down to the deep water and let your nets down for a fish. Jesus is asking Peter to make a change in what Peter knows about. Let me make this plain to you. Elsie. You guys, everybody knows Elsie, right? Yeah. Well, you might not know Elsie makes cakes. Elsie makes great cakes. Elsie makes like $500 cakes. And if you know Elsie, and you said, Elsie, I want you to make this cake a different way. How many of you think Elsie would just go, okay, how do you want me to make that cake? I'm thinking Elsie's going, I know how to make cakes. I've made my cakes the same way my whole life. I ain't changed the way I make cakes. Jesus is asking Peter to make a change. Jesus will ask you to make a change. B. The Lord is paying attention to your response. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night. We haven't caught anything. There ain't no fish around. But because you say so, I'll let down the nets. And you know what? It does not sound like Peter is very optimistic here. Can I get a witness on that? Oh, man, we've been working all night, haven't caught a thing. You don't fish in the day because the fish can see the net and they swim away. Peter says, okay, not confident. Peter responds with obedience, but not a lot of hope. And Peter could have said, you got to be joking. We're done. We cleaned up our nets. We've rolled them up. We're going home. We're tired. You want to see us fish? Come back tonight, but right now you got to get out of my boat. And there's a lot of people who answer the Lord's request like that. I'm not going out of my way for you. But that's in the natural. And we think in the natural and we live in the natural. The kingdom of God is not about the natural. The kingdom of God is about the supernatural. When you step out of the natural into the supernatural, it can feel a little shaky. It can feel a little bit different. And some of you have been experiencing that. Sandra has been experiencing that for 4 weeks. Come on up here, Sandra. A little round of applause for Miss Sandra. Sandra came up to me Friday. Said, Ann, I've been feeling so bad. I'm feeling guilty. And I'm thinking, oh.
What did she do now?
I know. I was thinking of that, man. And so what were you feeling guilty about?
I was feeling guilty about because since the beginning of August or so, in the middle of August.
Like 5 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago.
A friend of mine, we had just found each other on Facebook like a few months ago, and I've known her for 25 years. I haven't seen her like in 7 years. So, you know, we talk on Facebook and stuff. So then she said,
what'd you used to do? What'd you used to do?
What?
With her, your friend was kind of based on.
Oh, yeah, when I met her, that's how I met her. With,
they were drinking, partying, that's kind of.
We were partying and drinking when we were about 20-ish. And
it's like 2 years ago, right?
2 years ago, what?
We were 20-ish. little joke. All right, go ahead. No. So anyway, you're invited to the party.
So she invited me, and she says, I want to invite you to my granddaughter's birthday. It's on September 11th. And I said, okay, so because we had been trying to make plans to see each other, you know, for me to go over there and kick it with her and just talk and catch up on things. And so we had been writing back and forth, and then she said, oh, I'm really looking forward to seeing you, amiga. And I said, oh, me too, Gina. And then she said, I'm going to have the tecates chilling.
Tecates, for those of you who don't hable, is beer.
Yeah. So I'm like, ever since that day when she actually mentioned that, and I was kind of getting worried about the party, you know, because actually September 11th would have been yesterday. So today, if I would have went to that birthday party, I would not have come into church today. And my plans originally were to tell Lisa, since last month, Lisa, I'm not coming. on September 12th because I have something to do. So all these lies, I was trying to, you know, just con up these lies. What am I going to tell Lisa? I even told Anna, my co-singer here. I said, Anna, I'm not going to be here on September 12th, okay? So, and she's like, oh, okay. So, and all this time is just every week, Wednesdays would come and Sundays would come. And I'm thinking, should I tell Lisa? But something just, it wouldn't let me. As much as I want to see my friend Gina, and as much as I know that we were not going to have a bad time, we were going to have a good time. But as much as I wanted to do that, I kept thinking, should I call her at home now? Maybe this is a good, even when I've been here. And I'm like, should I just tell Lisa, like right now? You know, I've been thinking, but something wouldn't let me tell her. It just wouldn't let me tell her. And I just felt guilty as weeks came on. And even last week, even then the City Fest came up. And then I thought, okay, well, I had plans to go to City Fest, but no, my original plans were to go actually to Gina's party. So I was going to pretend I was going there, and I was going to pretend I was going over there. It was a mess what I was thinking. So I did tell my friend Gina a few days ago. I wrote her and I said, Gina, I said, I might not be coming to your party, I said, because Saturday there's a big Christian concert at Mission Bay. And so she wrote to me, and she says, it's okay, Sandra. She says, I'll send you an invitation anyway if you decide to come. And I felt really bad, you know, to kind of let her down. But in reality, I wasn't letting her down, you know. I realized that. Something let me know that. So I wrote back, and I said, Gina, I said, I hope you're not upset at me. And she wrote back, and she said, amiga, she says, I could never be upset at you, you know, like not for anything like that. She said, you enjoy yourself, and we're just, you know, we'll get together some other time. So I said, okay. So then, past Friday, I told Pastor, I said, Pastor, I gotta confess something to you. I'm feeling really bad. Because it was just all along, my whole plan from the beginning, it was just a mess. I was just planning this mess in my head that I was looking forward, like I said, to going to my friend's party because I was going to have some beers, you know. And when me sitting down with an old friend having some beers, we're going to have a good time, you know, do the music and do the beers. Hey! And so... So I did tell Pastor Friday, I said, Pastor, I said, I have something to confess to you. And he says, what's that? And I said, I've had this friend, a party for a friend that I was supposed to go to. And I said, and I wasn't going to come in Sunday. And so he just.
I started beating her about the head with the Bible. No.
But actually what I felt the most guilty of was to even have to tell Lisa or to lie to Lisa. And I apologize to you, Lisa, for even letting myself go there, you know, to even have to make that an option to have to, you know, lie and say, you know, I'm not going to be here Sunday because whatever I was going to say, you know, so.
All right. Two things on this before you respond. I said, well, you know, you could go to that party.
Right.
And just, you know, I said, you can say, hey, go. It starts at 1:00. It's a Mexican party. I said, if you go at 1:00, you're going to be the only person there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, well, I was going to be the first one to get started with the beers, though, see if I could get that early.
No, I'd say, look, you can stay for an hour, don't have the beers, bail, and you've been there.
It's not happening.
And she says, I'm not strong enough for that. I'm not strong enough for that. All right, second thing is, how cool is it that she caught it before it happened rather than after it happened? Amen? Amen. Amen. Hey, you know, I was blessed by that. I really didn't hit her with the Bible. Okay. Point number 3. See, the kingdom of God is different. Kingdom rules are different. Kingdom values are different. And you're going to come off the edge of the kingdom. See, there's people that are crowding around the kingdom, looking in and still living like the world. They're on the edge. But the kingdom is different. It says, when they had done so, when they were obedient, not out of hope, not out of expectation, just out of pure obedience, when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. And the supernatural results of God can be overwhelming in your life. Now, what would have happened is they would have made the loop with the net and it would begin pulling it in. The guys were going, yeah, this guy don't know how to fish. And all of a sudden, they would felt a tug. And all of a sudden, they would start feeling weight. All of a sudden, they'd be going, whoa! There's so many fish that their nets began to break. They began to go, oh, no, we're going to blow the nets. We're going to be out of business. Get the guys. We need some help. And the other guys came to help. And Peter couldn't handle it. Notice it wasn't just Peter. It says they. He had the whole crew. The whole crew was there experiencing the power of the kingdom of God. Probably four or five guys. They're valuable nets. Breaking. Nets more valuable than the catch. They called their friends, save the fish in the nets. And then their boats began to sink. Oh, crisis. And you cannot handle kingdom issues in the natural. When God moves in our lives, we cannot handle without divine assistance. And what happens is the kingdom of God, when you experience the kingdom of God, it will begin to make you feel small. And there are people that cannot handle that. There are people that cannot feel less. But until you understand how small you really are, how small your life really is, you won't understand that you need to grow. And that's what Jesus is really trying to teach Peter. The opportunity for change. When Simon Peter saw this, when Simon Peter saw the miracle of God that was happening around him, when Simon Peter realized that Jesus had made this miracle for him, he fell at Jesus' feet and he said, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken, and so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you'll catch men. And so they pulled up their boats, and they left everything, and they followed him. Peter's response, go away from me, Lord. I'm feeling small. You know, as I read this, I get a little bit confused. I don't understand why Peter doesn't go up to Jesus and say, yo, what a catch! You want to be on the crew? Man! We'll get us another boat. We could make some money. Yeah, I could use you. He says, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinner. And where does that come from? Comes from the message. Comes from the truth. Truth rings true. See, Jesus coming along and just throwing that truth out. Are you ready to hear it? Lure coming by for Peter. Are you ready? Says, Peter, it's not time to get out. It's time to get in. I understand you're less than comfortable with what's going on right now, but I want you to be able to deal with this discomfort, and it's time for you to leave what you know and kind of grab onto me. It's time for you to step out of your boat and step into my boat. You're not going to catch fish anymore. You're going to catch men. And Peter and his whole crew slide their boats up on the shore, slide their nets up on the shore, and leave them. And Jesus became the most important thing in their lives. Are you ready to make a change today? You see, Peter and his crew got caught. They got caught up in the kingdom. My question for you today is, what are you holding on to? What is keeping you on the edge of the kingdom? Lisa's going to come up and sing for a moment. In a moment. No, you don't need your stuff. You just leave it on the ground. Because right now, Jesus is throwing some truth your way. Some of you on the edge of the kingdom going, yeah. See, Peter had met the Lord. Peter knew he was the Messiah. Peter had seen him miraculously heal his mother-in-law, and yet still, Peter was on the edge. And some of you today are still on the edge, and Jesus has stepped into your boat this morning. And he's saying, are you ready to change? Lisa, you're coming up and getting ready to sing. And so my question for you today is, as he throws that truth by, are you hungry today? Are you hungry enough to leave what you know. To leave what you now understand has never satisfied you. And right now you're going, oh, he's right. He's right. It's the message of the word. It's right. You will not be satisfied this side of the kingdom. Your satisfaction will happen as you step into the kingdom of God. Would you pray with me, Lord? In this place today, there are some hungry people. I thank you for the miracle you work in Sandra, Lord. I thank you for the miracle you work in Stephen last week. And Lord, I thank you for the miracles that you're working right now, Lord. That truth is coming by. Truth. Enticing people that are starving, tired of living on less, tired of making poor choices, tired of going the wrong way. Lord, we come to you this morning, Lord, and I'm saying, I hear you, Lord. I hear you, Lord. I'm ready to make a change. I'm ready to step into the kingdom of God. I'm ready to leave the things that are holding me back. I'm ready to let go. You're here this morning, and the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to you. And he said, time to quit messing around and time to start coming in and get a kingdom focus in your life. In fact, just as if the Lord is speaking right to your heart. He's right in this place. He's saying, this is for you, my son. He's saying, this is for you, my daughter. And nobody's looking around, but right now the Lord Jesus Christ is he's saying, kingdom of God. Do you want it? Maybe like Peter, you got some stuff in your life that's holding you back. Lord's saying, you got to leave your boat. You got to leave maybe this relationship, maybe this activity. Maybe beers with Gina is what's holding you back. The Lord right now is speaking to your heart and you're hearing him and you're saying, Lord, okay, I'm done messing around. I want to follow you. With nobody looking around, the Lord's just speaking right now to your heart. And you just want to say, Lord, I am ready. I want to come into the kingdom. I want to see that change in my life. I want to see that manifested in me. That's you today. I just want you to just raise your hand up. I just want you to raise your hand up high. Just say, Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. I see hands all over the place today. Maybe you're over here on the left. Yes. Say, Lord, fill me by your Holy Spirit. Lord, anoint me, Lord. Call me out of darkness and into light, Lord. I'm going to release the things in my life that are holding me back, Lord. I'm in a relationship. I got stuff going on. I don't know what the Lord is speaking in your heart, but he is speaking right to you, and he's saying, you've got some stuff right now that's holding you back. Is that really more important than the kingdom? Is that really more important than me? Because it is. If it is, I'll see you later. But if you're ready to make a change, you can come in my boat. You can come in my kingdom. And Lord, for each of these people that are here, that have expressed a desire to come and know you, Lord. Lord, I pray just an infilling of your Holy Spirit upon them, Lord, that you seal them, Lord. By your power, there is transforming power. I thank you what you did in Stephen. I thank you what you do in Sandra. And I thank you what you do in me and in this church, Lord.